Thank you. Please.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. So in the interest of time, I think we should be quick and prompt. So my discussion is about social non-movements, specifically in Pakistan, but I will be reflecting occasionally about other Muslim countries as well. So the basic framework comes from Professor Asif Bayat, who is a political sociologist and expert in Middle Eastern studies. He talks about, you know, he is distinguishing social non-movements from social movements in the sense that social movements are larger mobilizations having bureaucratic structures, very clearly defined goals, and, you know, agenda, etc. But the social non-movements are very isolated, kind of dispersed, individualized instances of activism, which can be both in the sphere of culture, religion, religious reform, politics, identity, etc., etc. So that is actually the basic discussion I would like to initiate from. Is it okay now? No. So, you know, since the researchers, radar screen, as well as the media is mostly interested in larger mobilizations and social movements, political protests. So the smaller pockets of resistance and activisms are normally escaped from the radar screen of researchers as well as the media. Specifically, for example, Bayat actually talked about, you know, some of the social non-movements which occurred before the Arab Spring, the emergence of Arab Spring, which actually led to several revolutionary kind of mobilizations in the Middle East, in the Arab Middle East. Next, please. I just captured this photo of Ali Salman, and so, you know, the table is actually important. A social non-movement, just to make it relevant to the Islam and liberty discussion, if it is enhancing the second column, those freedoms, if I use Amartya Sen's freedoms and unfreedoms concept, so if it is enhancing and expanding those, then that is actually contributing to empowerment, liberating voices in Muslim societies. If it is doing the other way around, then it is actually, you know, restricting and constraining the freedoms in the domain of culture, politics, and economy. Next, please. So I will be discussing some empirical examples. Let me add here that, you know, social non-movement is a category of analysis. So we may disagree on the definitions, and we may call some social movements as non-movements, and a non-movement may be in the phase of a social movement. But I want to make my point that these are some isolated pockets of resistance, reforms, revisions, and revisiting, for example, religious text, and not covered by the mainstream social movements. So we can drop the social non-movement category after the analysis. It's a Weberian ideal type, you can say. And after using it, you can just drop it off. Next, please. The first example, next, please. Yeah. It comes from, you know, the Pak-Afghan border, which has been in conflict since long. And the people living there are called the tribal Pashtuns. Speaking Pashto language, The tribes are living on this side of Pakistan and the other side of Afghanistan. So across the border, being tribal, being Pashtun, they are constructed as, you know, conservative and socially, politically, religiously. And the second assumption has been, you know, unverified assumption among the anthropologists, specifically the colonial anthropologists, you know, that these are extremist, conservative tribes who cannot have social movements peacefully, but they can only have violence and violent movements. So the first movement which I am going to discuss, non-movement, is actually the Pashtun Tahaffuz movement, which is actually the Pashtun protection movement. So just to give you an example, you can call it, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement in the US. So the basic slogan is that the Pashtun lives matter. So it is not that always they will be used as instruments in the jihadi projects. The first project was against the USSR, and you know, then it was in Kashmir and different places. So this whole discussion was, you know, it emerged from within the youth, the groups, the new youth, the tribal Pashtun youth. The distinguishing feature of this mobilization is that they are non-violent completely. They are focusing on rights-based activism and the rights, you know, guaranteed in the Pakistani constitution. So, you know, redefining several identity issues related to their ethnic identities as well as Islam, as well as the Pakistani identity as well. So the discussions actually emerged when I was looking at these discussions as a Fulbright fellow. So it was in the non-movement phase that time, although it has become a movement now. And the non-movement phase was mostly, I call it the pre-Genesis phase of the movement. That time in the domain of culture, poetry, you know, music, and discussions, deliberative discussions, mostly held in the university campuses, around teachers and scholars, study circles, debunking, you know, the narrative of official jihad, which whatever was given to them as the only narrative of jihad. So they debunked, they disowned that narrative as well. So this was a huge transformation among the Pashtun youth. And this activism actually, you know, escaped both researchers and the media radar screen. The reason was it was a non-movement. It was not visible to the public. And it was in the public sphere and the public square as well. But it was initially considered as something going on in the culture, the domain of culture, music, poetry, etc., etc. But you know, it was giving voice to the tribal youth and making its inroad into politics as well. Next. The second discussion is about the literary, you know, festivals. I think Dr. Saeed recently attended one in Birmingham or somewhere, Manchester. And there is a huge activism started in Pakistan. So book readings and festivities, music, etc., etc. But the actual discussions is actually going on behind the book reading circles. So there are book launches and, you know, poetic discussions, literary discussions, but there is a discussion on defense budget, for example. There is discussion on violence. There is discussion on strategy, etc., etc. So there is always critical scholarship invited to those discussions, which is actually otherwise not possible. But you know, these discussions have led to a great momentum within the sphere of literature and, you know, artistic expressions. And now every city, major city, is having its own literary festival. And that is annually done mostly in March and April during the spring season. So Karachi, Lahore, Peshawar, and if you just have a look at the contents and the topics which are discussed in those literary circles, you will see that there is an amazing, you know, variety of and diversity of discussions on politics, culture, economy, religion, religious reform, gender, minorities and that. So this is the second example which I wanted to discuss. The third scholar who lived in Malaysia for 10 years in exile, his name is Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. He recently moved to US, settled in Dallas, and he is an ex-Islamist. So he was with Maududi and Jamaat Islami at that time, and then he was expelled from that movement. And then he started, you know, what he calls the reconstruction of Islamic thought. And when I was asking this question, coming back to essentials, so he is raising actually basic questions. And sometimes you may call it essentialism as well. But he is saying that actually there are several problems in the Islamic religious thought, not in Islam, not in Quran and Sunnah, but whatever has been the understanding, there is so many, there are so many issues, and so that needs to be reconstructed. So that's why he is going beyond, you know, the compilation of fiqh, tadwini fiqh, and he is moving into what Muhammad Iqbal wrote in Reconstruction of Religious Thought in Islam, that actually this whole thought, whatever has been understood, should be reconstructed for gender, minorities, freedoms, political freedoms. Just to give you an example, for example, this shura, the concept of shura. So when he will be interpreting wa amruhum shura bainahum, so he will say it's actually a compulsion on Muslims, because the amr, the siga amr, comes for a system, and you know, it's a compulsory thing, it's a mandatory thing on the Muslims to, you know, to have an elected representative government, and to that government should have actually a public support, and when it loses the public support, it should go back to the pavilion. So, yeah, 3 minutes. So, you know, he organized his scholars, I would call it textual communities, as well as interpretive communities, discourse communities, both online as well as, you know, physical. It has become a huge movement now among the middle classes, specifically women. And there are, of course, I can't discuss it in 3 minutes, but actually this whole reconstructionist project was done, you know, as a social non-movement, because he was not in the public square. But, you know, redefining, reconstructing the very basic essential concepts and then presenting them as a research output, you know, presenting and sharing with the public. The last one is the women's marches, which is called the Aurat March. It has become a huge phenomenon. I think Dr. Azim also wrote a piece on this. And although it is having some controversies as well, because to counter it, there is a Haya March from the religious, you know, and Islamist women circles. It is always facing these challenges from all different sections of society. And you know, the women marches, again to use Bayat, the art of the presence. So, you know, refusing to withdraw, to surrender from what you say in the public square, and, you know, reiterating, asserting your position again and again in the public square, and that has led to the non-movement, which has become almost a social movement now. So I'm looking at the time, it is just 44 seconds, so the time pressure is a lot. Just to conclude, I would say there is a lot actually going on in the non-movement phase. I consider ILN as a non-movement, which is in the realm of, you know, both religious reform, as well as politics, as well as influencing policy. For example, this discussion, are such other discussions were taking place in Iran and Tunisia and Pakistan, for example, under ILN, Maybe many researchers and the media is not aware of it. But you know, through producing new text, new knowledge, new discourse communities, new interpretive communities, and then, you know, bringing those ideas for larger discussion in the public, these are actually important for larger social movements and social change in society. Sorry, the time is short, so I have to stop here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.